Well, as soon as John meets a brown girl, he has sex with her. And for a while, he believes that carnal passion is the true end he seeks. Until finally he realizes, no, this carnality is merely a shadow of the greater love I'm seeking. You see, not Freud here. Freud would say it starts with the lust and builds up to love. No, here in Lewis, you begin with joy, with true love, what's called agape in Greek or caritas in Latin. You begin there, and lust is a sidetrack. It's a mere shadow. It's something that mimics desire. It reminds me of John chapter 4 when Jesus meets the woman at the well. Remember that woman? She's been married 5 times and is now living with a man who's not her husband. Obviously, this woman is seeking something, probably some kind of acceptance and love, but she's seeking it in the wrong way. The whole point of John chapter 4 is Jesus saying to her, you've been seeking it the wrong way. Let me give you the living water now. Let me show you what you're really seeking after. Again, this is to me a very moving aspect of C.S. Lewis's work. Well, as I mentioned, John soon realizes his error and leaves the brown girls behind. But guess what? He falls off onto another tangent. He finds another imitation, lesser imitation, of the joy he seeks. And this time he finds it in a sort of soft romanticism that promises fulfillment through aesthetic beauty. But you know what he soon finds? He soon discovers that the arts, far from refining desire, often act as pimps that lure us right back into the laps of the brown girls. In other words, he tries a sort of Oscar Wilde, soft decadence, art for art's sake kind of artsiness and thinks maybe that's the end. But again, even though art in itself is not bad, John realizes that if you seek the arts as an end in themselves, they become a pimp and you end up in a sort of carnality, as Oscar Wilde and many of his fellows did. Worse yet, John finds that though the first time he listens to a beautiful piece of music, it inspires in him a pang of joy. He hears some great Wagnerian opera and the pang, the joy returns. But guess what? With each successive hearing, the joy recedes as a formal, critical interest in the music as music takes its place. In other words, once the music becomes an end in itself, once again, the joy is lost. Now, in a work we'll look at in Lecture 5 called The Great Divorce, Lewis gives us the biography of a landscape painter who is first attracted to art not because he wants to paint the landscape, but because he wants to capture that light that lies behind the landscape. Any of you that are in the arts at all will know that you're often drawn to one of the humanities or one of the arts because you want to capture something that's behind the art or that is shimmering through the art. And at first, that's what you paint. But guess what happens? As time goes on, you lose your first love, to quote Revelations. You lose your love of the light and you start becoming interested in painting as an end in itself. You get interested in formal aspects. You get interested in the debates over modern art or classical art. You get involved in the kind of paintbrushes you use. And what happens is you lose the joy. You see, the painter, like John, allows his initial desire, one that should have drawn him upward to heaven, to be twisted downward or earthward to yet another counterfeit. Well, in The Great Divorce, the painter ends up losing his salvation, not because his desires are too strong, but because they are too weak for the overwhelming joy, the consummate reality that is heaven. This is an issue that's going to come back again and again in this series. That the trouble with our desires is not that they're too strong for heaven, as the Puritan thinks, but that they're too weak for heaven. Heaven is a kind of reality that's vibrant with life and joy and reality. And when we get caught up in art for art's sake, we no longer desire heaven anymore because we've lost our capacity for the wonder and joy and power of heaven. We will come back to this issue again and again in this lecture series. Let's come back to the Pilgrim's Regress. As John continues his journey, he encounters more false lures, all of which serve temporarily as idols, blocking his vision of the true object he seeks. And this goes on again and again. He confuses the means with the end. He thinks that the beauty lies in the music or in the ideas or in the forms when it merely shines through those things. You see? At times, John even turns the desire itself into an idol. It becomes, again, a sort of emotional experience and nothing more. And you know what happens? He loses all desire in the fulfillment. He wants the feeling, but not the fulfillment. He chooses, Lewis says, the pain of desire over the peace of feeling it no longer.